Okay, I'm on. All right, chapter 30, Deuteronomy. This is a powerful, I always say this, but it's a powerful message. The whole idea that reading Deuteronomy for this year is because it's the worst book you can read as a Christian, because it's based upon the law. Based upon the law. But that's a misunderstanding. It's actually the best book because even though it's saying commandment, it doesn't mean commandment. So I've taught you before, and I'm going to teach it again, because it's true forever, that the just shall live by faith. And if the just shall live by faith, then you can't have it by faith in yourself. You have to have it by faith in Jesus Christ to do everything for you. So he not only justifies you, he sanctifies you, he glorifies you. Not only that, he's going to marry you. Not only that, you're going to get a crown that fadeth not. Not only that, you'll get all of his inheritance. In other words, everything that God has is yours. And everything you have is his. So you were supposed to die, he died for you. So then when he was buried, you were buried. And then when he rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. Now you have eternal life. And all you have to do is hear his word and say that, God, you're good, I'm evil. That's all. That's all. That's death, by the way, to your pride. That's death to your guilt. I mean, it means that you're guilty all the time. I don't care what happens. You're always guilty. And don't be surprised that every Christian is guilty. But most Christians, they like to think they do good works. Well, I'll make up for that. I'll do some good works and make up for that. I got something on this page. I'm going to do something on this page. Kind of make it up. I did one sin. I'll do two wonderful things. I'll go to church. I'll do this and I'll do that. Well, that's a lie. So get used to lies, because the whole Bible is written in such a way that you can't read it. The whole Bible is written in such a way that you cannot read it without God. But when you have God, it's an open book. So once you have God in your life, you're in love and you're happy all the time. And that's true of me. Years ago, it happened to me 30 some years ago or whatever. Maybe 40 years ago. But whatever it was, no, it's even more than that. It's almost 50 years. That's 50 years. So I knew it was some number. So 50 years ago, that's the first time I came to Texas. And then by that Christmas, I held a service here Christmas Eve. The next morning, I was on an airplane, flew to Scottsdale, Arizona. And there, I was being naughty, as normal. And then, all of a sudden, I knew that I knew that I knew that there was a God. And I've now nailed that pretty much down. I knew, and Peggy was a help on this, I knew in that moment I fell in love with Jesus. I never thought that thought in my life, ever, ever, ever. I knew I went to church. I knew I had head knowledge. I knew I went to, you know, seminary and so on. So I had head knowledge, but I didn't have any heart knowledge. But at that moment, I knew I fell in love with Jesus. And not only did I fall in love with the Father and with the Son, the Creator and the Redeemer, but I also fell in love with the Holy Spirit, three in one. And I knew from then on, it's to the death for me. I will die every single day. I'll never be Jim again. I'll be Jesus in Jim, Jim in Jesus. That's it. And that changed my life forever. And so the reason why I knew that I knew that I knew, that that first moment, that was in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I knew right then I believed in Jesus. And then I knew also that when I was in seminary, the Lord also visited me in the second window going back. This is on the second story of Yale University. And while I was there getting my brain going and so on and so forth, and I was the top. I was at absolutely A++. And I always had been that way. I always paid attention. I always sat in the front row. I took down notes, and I was plus. I'm not just A+. I didn't miss a thing. But that day, something happened, and I wasn't paying attention. And I was in the seventh row back, right there. I was there, right on the corner, and I was listening to the professor kind of going on. And he preached something that made John Wesley born again. Made John Wesley, he said, his heart was changely warmed. That's what he said. And so that same verse that was from Luther, whom I was a Lutheran by background, it was the preface to the Romans. And as he read that, he got converted. Well, I didn't get converted that day, but I felt guilty. That was the first time in my life that I ever felt guilty. I was guilty, but I didn't feel guilty at all. In fact, I enjoyed sin. But anyway, on that day, then I realized, wow, and I heard God speaking through the second window. Now, I was at the seventh row, so that first window was like there, and the teacher's desk was here. Everybody was there. And I heard an out loud voice. I mean, it wasn't just a soft voice. It was out loud. And I thought, whoever's speaking must be on a ladder or something, because they're speaking right to that window. And this is what the window said. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. My favorite verse. Because I had philosophy majors. I had art majors. I had all kinds of degrees going for me. And I always did double majors, even in high school. I always did twice as much as anyone else. And the more you study, then the more you know. So the more questions you have and the more interest you have in learning something else. And so because of that, I realized, wow, I knew it was God, but I didn't want God in my life. I was definitely against that. I wanted to sin and be happy. And I loved sinning. I didn't mind doing all kinds of things. So whatever I did, it wasn't the normal stuff that you think about, getting drunk. And I didn't do all that. I didn't have any sex, or I didn't have anything like that. Opioids. I didn't do anything. But I was totally selfish. And I just used people as objects. Do you understand what I mean? The only value you have is to bless me. And so you're just an object that satisfies my happiness. I was a hedonist. A hedonist is someone that avoids pain and looks for pleasure all the time. And so I was totally into that, and I loved it. And so the world, I loved the world. I did not love God, didn't care about God. You either love God or you love the world. If you love God, you're at enmity with God. If you love the world, you're at enmity with God. And so you have to realize, if you love God, then you can't love anything else. He's kind of like, you know, kind of hogs the whole show. He wants you to love him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Golly, I don't even want to hear about that. But I had head knowledge. I knew what a Christian was, and so you couldn't fool me. I learned the languages and so on and so forth, and I still, to this day, spend at least 5 if not 6, 7, and 8 hours a day. I'm in the Bible. I'm in reading the Greek Old Testament, New Testament, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew, and in the Latin church history, and so on. And I had French and all that kind of stuff. But the point is, I had all I really needed at that point. But I believe that when God spoke to me, that experience changed my life. But then I also believe the third, I know that I know that I know, or I knew that I knew that I knew, past tense, that was in eternity. I believe that God actually saved me because my mother attempted to abort me 4 times, and grandmother wanted her to have a career, and now she had a great career ahead of her, and then it's over. If you have this child, just abort him, get rid of him. And she told her 4 different ways to get rid of me. But my mother was a bad aborter. She was not really good at it, because I came forth anyway. And so then a few weeks from now or whatever it is, I'll be 80 by reason of strength. And I plan to be 120 before I die. And so the coronavirus doesn't bother me at all. So I don't really care about that because I'm just starting. Remember, Abraham started at 80. Remember that? He was 80 before he got going. And so now, but he did live to be 120. And so I'm okay with that because I have so much to do. I have lots to do. I have lots of things that I want to do, especially write. I'd like to write a little book about kids, the history of the world, and then tell the truth. And not it won't be a human work. Tell the whole truth with exact dates. And so I won't mess with it. It's just exactly. You'd have to read the scripture like me maybe 100 times to figure out that all the numbers are in the Bible. They're all there. And you add them up, and it's exactly what it is. And I'd like to write that for kids because then kids, they read it and they don't understand history. Like, what do I need this for? But it will actually say this happened at such and such and such a time and such and such and such a place and so on. And in my home, I once covered all my walls in my whole house with 4x8 sheets. And I had little bitty blocks that were 1¼ inches by 1¼ inches. And I had pasted on them everybody that lived. And so my daughter then, Kara, she's in Virginia now, she memorized all of them. And on the back was written the dates and so on and so forth, Eli Whitney and all this kind of stuff. So all the inventions, all the stuff. And so I would buy a lot of books and then cut them up. You know, especially if they were, you know, a quarter inch, you know, one and a quarter inch and 1¼ inch, if they were like that. And so I would then have all of these, and then I had lines on it that said the first 1,000 years, the second 1,000 years, the third 1,000, and so on. I had the lines on that thing, and then all these things were there, these little bitty things. And I could take them off, put them on the table, and Kara knew what everyone said, because I would say, this is a bad guy, this is a good guy, this is a bad guy, this is a good guy, this is a bad guy, this is a good guy. And so she would memorize those and could unscramble them and put them right back. So that's amazing. She had kind of a memory like that, but she could just go, he's bad, he's bad. This is Abraham Lincoln, you know, he's good, and so on and so on. So she would do that. And so she was a straight-A student like I was. And she played the flute, played the piano. She still does. I don't know if she plays the flute, but she still plays the piano. But she would get up every morning and play the flute for a while and then straighten up all the kitchen and so on and so forth before she goes to school. And then in our school that was right here in Fort Worth, she won all the ribbons when they had a ribbon for the best behaved and for the smartest person and the one who did da-da-da-da-da. And the teachers came to us and said, she can't win all the things like that because we're trying to have everyone else have a chance. So she said, she's just going to get one ribbon from now on. And so she knew her scriptures. She was in the spelling bees. She went with all this stuff. And so today she has 8 kids, and so it's a happy family. So that's great. I love it. And so Peggy was just there for a week, 8 days, I guess. And she was just there with all the girls of the family. They all came there. But a couple of the guys also wanted to be in on the deal. So, you know, she was there with her whole family. Well, I stayed home and read the Greek and the Hebrew and the Latin. And so I had a ball. But I've been happy ever since. Now, I want to teach you the word mitzvah. Who can spell it? Okay, M-I-T-S, mitz, M-I-T-S, avah, A-V-A-H. Okay, now, here's the thing. Words in the Old Testament and in the New Testament have a double meaning. Okay? This is the cleverness of God. So that when a pagan reads it, and I was a pagan, when a pagan reads it, they don't understand it. Because it doesn't make any sense. Like, that God, you know, would love you personally. And I never met him, and he never met me, and, you know, so I didn't have any deal until he spoke through that window. And then I realized, huh, from now on, you're going to have to follow God. Gee, yuck. Okay, well, that'll ruin my whole life. It's going to be Christ in me kind of thing. I don't know. And so I didn't like that idea because I was full of energy. I was full of, you know, I'm going to vent something or create something or do something. Amount to a hill of beans. I was going to do that. But I never did. And here I am in Texas. And so I never amounted to the hill of beans. But anyway, I had all this going for me. And it's like David said. So I'm going to read this chapter, this 30th chapter. I'm going to read rapidly because I want to get through it. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse. Now, David just gave an example of the, you know, he was going to be this, and then it cursed, you didn't get it, and then another thing, and that didn't work. And so, if you have to rejoice in everything, and I do. One of the first things when I was a Christian that I learned was rejoice in the Lord always. So, if it would be the sun was not there, and the rains were coming down, and so on, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for the sun not being there. Some are hidden behind the clouds. What a wonderful day. And so I just do it out of faith. I didn't even believe in that. I just did it. And so I would never be depressed. I was just always, praise God, I'm the happiest person on earth. I can't think of anybody happier than me. Maybe equal to me, but you can't be happier. And so I'm the most happy person and so on. And then I did that for 3 years and nothing happened. Nothing. And so doing all of that, I think, you know, God says do stuff and I do the stuff and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. But after 3 years, I got it. All of a sudden, I realized from now on, you'll never doubt God again. So that happened to me and I realized you got to be patient with God. How many know you have to be patient with God? Because you ask for things right early, you know, 4 a.m. or whatever. But he doesn't always answer 4 a.m. He's sleeping, I guess. But it says he doesn't sleep or slumber. So he's awake, and he doesn't want to, you know, answer the prayers. I thought if he just call on the guy, come through. But he didn't. And so, you know, you want pleasure, you get pain. You want to be well, you get sick. And you pray for people, and they die. So I realized this thing is not exactly what it's, you know, what it looks on the surface. So that's why God wrote the Bible that you cannot read unless you have the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy Spirit. So everybody else is born of the flesh. Everybody. I was born of the flesh. Everybody's born of the flesh. But then when you meet Jesus and hear his word, you're born of the Spirit. Now you're a spiritual person doing spiritual things by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I went, wow, that's cool. I don't understand what that said, but it said something. You know, it said something I don't understand. I don't know how that thing works because I tried it and it didn't work. For example, one day I ran into the lake and I ran as fast as I could to walk on water and I just went down. Then another day I walked in slowly, just slowly, slowly, and I went down. So I realized, well, God doesn't always come through like it says in the Bible. In other words, there must be a secret. He must have something hidden here that I don't know about because I thought I said exactly what he said. I thought I did exactly what he said to do. So I realized mitzvah could be two things. Actually, it's about 14 things. But two things that are opposites. One, it's a command, something you do for God. Yay, isn't that exciting? No, it's actually wrong. Or it could be a promise, something God does for you. Now, which one do you like? You doing for God or God doing for you? The thing that I like is when God does for you, he's perfect. When I do it, it stinks. I mean, no matter what I do. And he doesn't want me to do good works. He hates good works. He hates that when the Jewish people do it, when the Catholic people do it, when Protestant people do it. He hates it. Said, you know, well, I swore yesterday, but today I'm making a meal for my wife and bringing flowers over, whatever. He didn't want you to do that. You have to do it by faith, and actually you hear God say, do this. That's different than you just making up your own mind of what's good and what's evil. No, I'm always evil. He's always good. I'm cool with that. I'm a zero now. I love being a zero because you can't fall very far if you're a zero. You're on the bottom already. So it's hard for you to lose. So that's why I could rejoice always with God. So I thank God for Latrice. A blessing right there. And married to Tommy. A blessing. Two blessings in one family. And Walter. And Teresa. Another blessing. So it's pretty powerful. And I haven't seen you for weeks. Or maybe months. Years. She used to be a member a long time ago, right? Long time. And so here she is. And it's powerful. Anyway, God gives you people because he says the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. So I don't believe there's anybody on earth that can resist the gospel. Did you hear what I just said? I don't believe there's anybody on the earth that can't hear the gospel. You don't have to believe in it, but you can hear it. And faith cometh by hearing. So if it comes by hearing, it doesn't say hear and then understand it. No, you don't have to understand it. Just read it. And then you become a Christian. You just read it and you become a Christian. And all I did is read it. I didn't want to be a Christian. I never prayed about being good or anything like that. I didn't want to be. I liked being exactly what I was. And all I wanted to do was survive every day. If I could just survive, I'd be fine. But God had another idea. He wanted to save me, so that's why he met me in that moment in Scottsdale, then in that other moment when I was at Yale, and then at that other moment, which was in eternity, and I wasn't there. But I believe God knew me before I was born in the womb. I believe he knew me and said, I'm going to make this one a complete idiot and jerk. I'm going to make this one a Christian. And I was hard because I had no good, never, you can say psychologically, did you ever do anything decent in your life? Never. Never. I cheated and lied and deceived people and, you know, I was a con artist and so on and so forth. And so I was just out for myself. And that's forbidden in the Bible. You're not supposed to be a sinner like that. But that was me. And I have a feeling one or two of you are like that. Could I see a show of one or two? Oh, that was way, way more than I was expecting. And so if you do that, you don't have any problem because God's a forgiving God. And you know when he died on the cross, you were all forgiven. But you have to take delivery. He made an offer, but you have to, when the offer is made, it has a window and you have to make it. And it's till you die. If you become a Christian just before you die, you're all right. At the last minute, you could do it. So you can keep sinning all you're doing. Because you're going to do it anyway. You can keep sinning. He doesn't mind that. Because even though you're not perfect, he likes making you perfect on his own. Without your help. He likes making you perfect. All you have to believe is he's good. And that since he's good, he's also gracious. And since he's gracious, he's also merciful to all your sins. And so when he died on the cross, he said it's finished. Tetelestai in the Greek. Tetelestai means in the future. That's a future tense. Tete. When he does that, in the Greek, it means in the future, I'll take care of this. But today I have something, and tomorrow I have something. In fact, every day I want to bless you. Every day you're going to be benefited. Blessed be the name of the Lord who daily loads us with blessings, with benefits, every day. So I don't even know what they are. I'm not even curious. But I believe he does. I totally believe God blesses me every single day. And that's why I'm happy all the time. I don't need to see anything. I just believe it without seeing it. If he says it, I believe it. If he says that I made the world, I believe he made the world. If he says that there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I believe that too. I don't ever think about that, even though I have a brain. I don't think about that. I just take him at his word. And I didn't do it. I just died, just reading the book, just read the book. And then I realized I had the head knowledge, but I didn't have my heart. My heart was far from God. But those three events made God so real that now he's my whole life. He's my all in all. Now, could I hear someone raise your hand and say, I think I'm like that too. I'm just as powerful as you are, Pastor. Thank you. One more. Jeff, thank you. Larry, thank you. Thank you. Praise God. We have four. Five. Six. I'm waiting for Latrice to raise her hand. So we have six born again, spirit filled, spirit led, spirit everything. That's powerful. And don't you think God doesn't notice that? Of course, some of you actually are, but you are shy. You wanted to raise your hand. You really wanted to raise your hand. But you're shy. It's okay, because God doesn't look at your behavior anyway. He only looks at the heart. He only looks at the heart. Does in your heart, do you think you're perfect? How many here think you're perfect? You're wrong. Okay, so since you're not perfect, are you sinful? Yes, you are. So you're sinful. Full of sin. In other words, every day you're proud. Every day you're angry. Every day you're, you know, bitter. Every day, you know, have patience and so on and so forth. You're not kind and so on and so forth. So every day you're going to sin. It doesn't make any difference. And God designed it that way that it doesn't work without him. But when you have God, all of that's forgiven. All of that then is cleansed. All of that is perfected in love. He makes those three promises. The good work I began in you, I will surely complete it without your help. Without your help, I will surely complete it. In other words, if he starts in you, he'll finish it. So once he starts, it's over. You don't have to wait for it. You already know it's going to come. That's powerful. So this word, mitzvah, I'm going to read it in a second. Every time it shows up, it'll say commandment in the Old Testament, because the Jews wrote that part of the book. And they always think that God is a commanding God. But the problem with commanding is you have to obey or disobey. And then in the New Testament, it says something like this. All have sinned. I mean, that's kind of clear. All kind of includes everybody, kind of. So since all includes in that, then if all have sinned, then all have sinned. That's it. And so the idea that you could do a good work is impossible. No one has ever done anything good. Did you know that? That's in the third chapter, 21st verse of Romans. It says, all have sinned, and fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, the reason that he originally created you was that you'd do good. That's why he originally created you. You'd do what was just. You'd do what was true. You'd do what was completely good for everybody else, including your neighbor. Always including your neighbor. And that's the proof. That's the end of the law. But the beginning of the law is worship God with all your heart and soul and strength. That one's hard. It's so hard that nobody ever did it. Only Jesus did it, and he did it for me. And he did it for everybody here. So when he did it, and the just shall live by faith, if you have faith that Jesus is good, even though you're not. That's like every little kid has to learn that. They have their parents, and by the time they're two, they've already sinned. Big time. Because they're going to learn the word no, just like you used it on them. They're going to use it on you. No. I'm not going to do that. And they don't want to stay in your presence because you're going to make them go to bed and spank them. And so I always told the kids, okay, I'm going to spank you right now. And it's right over there in that drawer. You get it. Now they're going to get spanking and they have to get it. Because it has love written on one side and then guilt written on the other side and so on and so forth. It's, you know, it's just like, I don't like this. Wisdom. You had to have wisdom. And so by the time they're running down as good lawyers, they think of things to say on the way. Because I always, it's there in the dining room. We have to walk back to our bedrooms. I'm going to spank them right there. I always sit in the chair there and spank them. And so they have to think about it. Dad, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. So, oh, that's good. He's making a case. I'm not going to do it. Dad, you said I went like this. I didn't do like that. I went like that. I mean, I just like that. And I don't know, kids have that wisdom that they can come up with something to justify what they just did. And so all of my kids were like that, all four of them, and they were good. So I learned in the Bible that if you discipline them when they're young, then when they grow old, it'll all work out. Do you know that? Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's older, he won't depart from it. That's what it says. And that's the way it is with all my kids and now 11 grandkids. Wow, that's awesome. And they're all believers, all of them. And so that's powerful. When you have a family like that, it's like heaven on earth. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! I can keep going. That when I go to Africa and India and China and so on, that's what I do, because people love that. Ooh, that guy's going to say something. But they like it. They like it something that's happy and exciting, because usually pastors are grim. You can always tell it's a pastor because they have a frown on their face and they have the little collar and all that kind of stuff. And that's a pastor right there. And I do that when I go to the airport. Just look at them. That's a pastor. Because they're not happy all the time. But I'm happy all the time. You can't do anything to make me unhappy. You can stab me. You can shoot me. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm done. I don't have anything to do in this world except love y'all. I don't have anything to do. I'm already done. 80, you know, that's supposed to be it. Kind of 70. And then if you reason of strength, you get 80. I mean, that's pretty much. And then after that, it's all, you know, roll the dice. I mean, you don't know how it's going to be. It gets scarier, you know, after that. So that's next week. Or whatever it is. It's coming up. And so when you have a God that's good, you'll tend out to be good. Why? Because God is the only actor in the universe. Since he's the only actor, you can't act. That's why you can't do good, because you're not perfect, because you still have sin in your life. But since God forgives you all your sin, but he leaves the sin in you, then he takes it away, and then he perfects you in love. I'll say that again. That's the three parts of the atonement. First of all, on the cross, he forgave everybody in the whole world. Second of all, only working with believers, he's trying to kill their flesh, all their sin, and remove it little by little by little by little by little. And you'd be mistaken if you think, I'm a Christian now. I don't do bad. You will do bad. Did you know that until he comes back a second time, and he hasn't come yet a second time, you're going to keep sinning. You'll be proud that yesterday you were humble. You'll be impatient about being impatient. I mean, you know, you just can't. It gets locked in. So whatever you do will not be a good work. So I don't expect anyone to do anything but sin. And when you do, it's a miracle. When you don't sin, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. But it happens. It happens. So every day we testify here, every day, so that you can then boast on not yourself, but boast on God. And say, like David did this morning, he said, you know, I was supposed to get this, and then it fell apart. Then I got the concession, and that fell apart too. And so, but he said, I'm still happy. So that's powerful. You have to have a life that never gets sad. And Danny's like that. He's preaching in Dallas today. And his whole family, he's teaching all his family to be like that. And you're doing that in your family, and everybody's doing that. And we're going to see the daughter that we've been praying for. She'll come home because you raised her as a Christian. So it doesn't matter that she had bad experiences in the meanwhile. That doesn't change anything. Once God starts something, he cannot finish it without being perfect about it. And it has to be perfect. It is finished. It's over. It's completed. So this word, mitzvah, could be a promise or it could be a law. I know it's always a promise. I'm certain of it. I'm certain of it. So now I'm going to read it and then I'll substitute promise after I say the law. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse, you're always going to get the curse, Moses said, which I have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord has driven you. In other words, he's going to make sure that you mingle with the world and you're going to get in trouble. And now here's a promise. And you shall return unto the Lord your God, verse 2, and shall obey the voice according to all that I command you this day. Now, I looked that up, mitzvah. Same word that could be interpreted either way. I can understand it as a promise or I can understand it law. You don't change the words. The text, exactly same words, spelled the same way. It's exactly the same word. How can it have an opposite in it? This one is heaven, this one is earth. You know, how can it say earth when it means heaven? How can it say heaven when it means earth? You can't figure God out because he's master of all the languages. Did you know God knows every language in the world? So he knows all the dialects and he knows everybody. In fact, he knows everybody's what. In fact, before the foundation of the world, he already knew everything about everybody because he used to meet in a little boule. That means they were a council of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so they used to meet, and then everybody always agreed. If the Father says it, the Son believes it, the Holy Spirit makes it happen, and so on. So it's amazing. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you get power. You have the capacity to do whatever God wanted you to do, but you have to be born of the Spirit. And when you're born of the Spirit, you suddenly can do things you couldn't do before. And when you can do things that you couldn't do before, you don't get the credit. God gets the credit. And when men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father in heaven. They won't glorify you. They're not going to glorify you because they know you must be a child of God. You must be learning from God. You must be in the right family. So God wants everything to be heaven on earth. Woo! That's powerful. So what he has to do is get rid of all the sin first. And someday he'll take this nation, America, this state, whatever it is, a local community, a state, a nation, doesn't matter. And he'll bring them, get all the sin out of it, and bring it up to God the Father, just the way God originally intended it before he created Adam and Eve, before he created this world, before time began. He already knew what everyone would think and say and do. In fact, he knows all the secrets of your heart. Everything that you have in your heart, he knows it. And he knew that before the foundation of the world. Before, not only since, before. So since God knows everything, he can judge you in 1 second. See your heart. So, but everybody here, you love God with all your heart and soul and strength, right? Okay, I'll say that again because I was expecting everybody to say it. You love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, right? Yes. Yeah, right. It's just a faith statement. You don't have to even see it. You just have to believe it to say it. You just have to believe it. Did you know God likes believers? And the just shall live by faith. So if you live by faith in Jesus rather than faith in yourself, but everybody that I know has faith in themselves. I grew up that way. I was totally the center of attention. I didn't care about anybody else. I didn't care about my parents. I didn't care how three fathers. I didn't care for any of them. I didn't care for my mother. I didn't care for anybody, sister, cousins, everybody. And so I grew up that way. So what? God said, you know, that's a guy that's full of passion, but it's all wrong. So I'll have to kill him. I'll have to kill him. I'll have to kill him every day. Wow. My head knowledge said, uh-oh, am I going to die daily? Yep. And I read that. I read that. It's in Luke. It says every day you have to die. In other words, every day you're going to have faith in God. Every day you're not going to be God. You will never be God. You can't be God. You can't do anything right. You totally have sin in your life. One sin will keep you out of heaven. If you just had one sin, he'd still, you're not perfect. So I didn't do it. You must have done it. Since you did it, I know that it's imperfect. And that's in Hebrews, the seventh chapter, the 19th verse. Hebrews 9, did I say it? 7, 19. It says, under the law, any law, military law, civil law, human law, society law, God's law, any law. And God get rid of the law. Remember, he said, I don't want any of you obeying a command because then you could fail. I want you to obey the gospel because I can't fail. I'll keep my word. You can't keep yours. That's good. That's a good parent. And a good parent sees the child and a little bitty kid like, you know, our little granddaughter, you know, she just starts to walk and she'll stumble because she hasn't walked before. And now all of a sudden she walks, but you don't say to him, you're no good at this. You don't say that. You encourage them. Oh, come on, you can try again. And they try again and fall down again. They fall down again. But one day they start walking. And they're just like this. You know, whoa. You know, this is great. And now you can't stop her. She's walking. As soon as she gets up, she's walking. And then she's getting into things. She gets into everything. And she can now use words and so on. It's exciting to have a God that will speak to you at any time. Anytime, God always has a word for you, whether it's good or bad, whether it's right or wrong. It doesn't matter because everything works together for your good. Everything out there. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Everybody here loves the Lord. Woo! Everybody here loves their neighbor as themselves. Woo! A little lag on that one because you don't really love your neighbor as yourself. But he's not counting your behavior. He's counting your heart. Do you believe that God is perfect? You see, people without God will perish. People who have no God in their life will perish. So what? He's told his people, which is us. He said, forgive them, love them, pray for them, bless them, do good for them, never curse them. Wow. If that's the case, and it is with me, if that's the case, wow, that means something powerful is going on. Because you don't have to be hostile to it anyway. You can say it and say it and say it until one day it's true. Then you realize, wow, I needed to say myself probably 1,000 times. You love everybody. I don't. No, I don't. You love everybody. I don't like that word. No, you love everybody. It's easy for you, God, because you're perfect. But it's not easy for me. But no, I only ask you to do it by faith. Oh, yeah, faith in Jesus. Oh, yeah, let Jesus do it. So, I, you know, it says in the Bible that a husband must bear all the burdens and the wife must get all the blessing. I've taught that for years, and it doesn't work at all. It doesn't work. That I've taught that for years. But you know what it's saying? It's just do it by faith. So a minute that I said, Peggy, it's not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. But what you just did was wrong. But I'm going to just dump that on Jesus. Jesus, the woman thou gavest me. I mean, she's tough. She's tough. She looks kind of innocent and sweet and so on and so forth. But she can be mean and nasty. And now she has more sins that she never saw before. But being married to me, they came out. Because I was sinning all the time. Why'd you do that? Why did you exaggerate? I don't know why. I just did. I wanted to. Oh, well, I think if you're a pastor, you shouldn't be doing that. Yeah, shouldn't is not in my vocabulary. I just do whatever I want to do, and I'm happy about it. And so then when I became a Christian, I had to change all that. So whatever I read, I'm going to immediately apply it. Immediately take deliverance on it and say, that's me. I'm a new creation. I've been born again. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away, perfect past. I've been born again, more than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Now, I don't have to say that every day, but I believe that every day. I believe that I'm no longer me because I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, and yet I live. And I live by the faith of the Son of God who died for me. He laid down his life and he said, this is for Jim. Wow, I'm the beneficiary of God. It's a trust. And I'm the beneficiary of the trust. And so the trustor has to then give me everything that's in the trust. And he has to wait until I'm mature, because if you gave it to a two-year-old, they would do wrong things. But if you don't say that. So one time we went into Mott's store. Did you ever hear of Mott's? I think they're out of business now. But anyway, we had one. I said to Cara, Nagara, pick any paper doll you see on this rack, because they were like $390 or something like that, $95. He said, whatever you want, 18th century, 16th century. And then she was so excited because she had a whole box full of them. And she just looked and said, you know, and then it was only $395. That's all I had to pay. And she was happy. Couldn't be better because she's just that young. But, you know, she's only 3 or something like that, or 4 or something. And so it was easy. But now, when she grew up, she wanted cars. And she wanted, you know, college and so on and so forth. So you had to get rid of that idea. Because she wanted me to pay for everything, you know. But now, it's so perfect because all my kids are Christian. And so, not only that, they're ministers. And all their Facebooks are full of, you know, thousands of people are listening to them and talking to them and so on and so forth. Unless, you know, whoever that guy is that owns Facebook or whatever like that. Sometimes they'll cut out something you're doing because it's conservative. Yeah. You know, so they have that power. I don't worry about that. They're just bad people. They need to be taught. And so they need to be mentored. They need to have someone tell them the truth over and over again till they get it. Because God is good. And since God is good, he's gracious. And since God is gracious, he favors you. And since he favors you and you don't pay a thing, you can't pay him back. Because God doesn't want you to repay him. When he does something, it's free. Because all God has to do is say a word and it's there. Let there be light. Boom, there was light. And so it's easy for God to do everything he does because it doesn't cost him a thing. Just every word. Man shall not live by bread alone. All of us are bread eaters. He wants you to live by the fruit that's in this word. And every word that's in here is fruit, but it's spiritual food. It's not regular food. It's not bread. But by every word that is constantly, continually, present active indicative, proceeding out of the mouth of God. So every day he's speaking. I love you, Jim. I love you, Jim. I love you, Jim. Oh, that's good. But he knows I believe in Jesus Christ. So I have all my faith in Jesus to do everything I need to do, ought to do, should do. And he does it. And thank you, Jesus. Why? Because I didn't do anything. I never did anything. And I plan to still do nothing. I love being a zero because you can't fail. How can you fail when he's already promised you everything? Because you're the trustee. You're the beneficiary. You're the one that gets all the blessing. He gets all the burden. And so when he died on the cross, I didn't. Now his death was my death. And when he rose, I rose. And so whatever is happening to God, faith, hope, and love, now I have that toward everybody else. Why? Because it's easy when you have a God and you don't trust yourself anymore. Self-trust is wrong. If you have trust in yourself, you're wrong. Now, you may have talents that people want to, oh, you're so wonderful. I don't believe compliments. When someone compliments me, they say, you're wonderful. You mean because I told you the truth? Because that's the only thing I do, just tell you the truth. And if I tell you the truth, you may hate me. And you know, sometimes people would stand up and say, wow, this is a church. I'm gonna live like this from now on. And then the next week, they're gone. And so, you know, I don't trust people. How many know the Bible says, trust no man? And trust no Christians that stand up like that. And so I learned that don't count on that because people are liars. Let God be true and every man a liar. That means every man is a liar. In other words, they deceive themselves. They trick themselves. They do that. Okay. God already did that on a cross. He already did that 6,000 years ago before the foundation of the world. We're in the 7,000th year now, if you add up all the numbers in the Bible. In the 7,000th year, and the world will only add. And by the way, all the founding fathers of the church, this is those that after Jesus, right after Jesus, They believe that the world will only be 7,000 years. All of them, without any exception. So reading all of them, and they believe that the world, they already knew then that it only lasts 7,000 years. So now we're in the 7,000th year, and he's going to rise early in the morning. So he'll come back at the right time. So this is just the beginning. So we're only a few years into it. But you know what? He's going to do everything before time is up. Before this time is up. Because the last 1,000 years is the time that Jesus comes back with vengeance for the wicked and then deliverance for the righteous. Vengeance for the wicked. You have one sin, you're out. But you can make a difference. Pray for them. Love them. Bless them. Do good for them. It works. It works for Julia. I know that. Do y'all know Julia?
Yeah.
This is Julia. And you do?
Yes.
Praise God. That's a Christian. And so she's a learner. And I remember the first word she learned was repentance. Remember that? And so repentance doesn't mean stop doing bad and start doing good. That's not repentance. In the Bible, metanoia is the Greek word. It means comfort yourself. And it comes from another word in the Old Testament, nacham. Nacham, like Nahum. That one means comfort yourself. Tell Israel, this is Isaiah speaking to the people of Israel who are sinners galore. And he says to them, tell Israel that her warfare is over. In other words, her hatred of me. And her sins have all been forgiven. Tell them. Well, it hadn't done any good. How many know God's really patient? He's patient because he knows it will do good. Anytime he gives his word, there's always going to be, and whenever God judges you, there's always deliverance at the end. So when he judges you, that's only for your good. It's never to kill you. It's never to get rid of you. He always separates the sin from the sinner. He died for your sins. Didn't die for you because you're going to live forever. He's the God of the living. So he's the God of the living. That means he's only the God of the living. And so if he has to forgive you for all your sins and then cleanse you from all unrighteousness and then perfect you in love so that you love everybody, he'll do that and then give you everything that you deserve. No, not what you deserve, what he wants to give you for free. Free, it's all free. That's why we're free in Texas. Did you know you're free? God and Liberty was what they did in 1836 when Santa Anna wanted to force everyone to be a Roman Catholic because that was his background. And he knew if I do that, I'll really irk all these Protestants and kick them out and kill them. And so since the Protestants decided to make a show at Alamo, he had to kill 182 people and then burn their bodies. And then in 2 weeks later, on the 21st of March, General Sam Houston beat him in 18 minutes. In 18 minutes, it was over, and that's how Texas is God and Liberty today. Otherwise, we would be not in faith. We'd be following a law. We'd read mitzvah as a command, a law, and then you can obey or disobey. But all of people that came here were criminals in America. That's why they came here. And they were criminals. They had done something. And so the first law they made in Texas was any sheriff or anybody from America that crosses the river and comes into here, you will never serve anybody. If they killed somebody, if they stole something, if they abandoned their wife or whatever, that's our first law. Whatever you did in the past is over. Once you cross the river, now you're in a free land. Did you know that? Now, as Texas began, so it will end. As Texas began, it's not that way today. The way today, it's corrupt. All kinds of things are happening. But still, it's better to be in Texas than in Utah or California
or New York
or anybody. You know, it's better. Why? Because still, people and goat ropers and, you know, all of those... They're the ones that, you know, they haven't changed. So I like meeting Texans that have been here for a while. because they still have that, you know, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so it's a powerful thing. So are there bad guys? Of course there are bad guys, but there are a few. But in every other state, I don't believe there could be a revival. But Dallas-Fort Worth, that's a good one, right there. It'll be right here, and that's why I'm here. I'm not in Houston. I'm not in San Antonio. I'm not anywhere else in Austin. I'm right here, Dallas-Fort Worth. Why? Because people are hungry for the Word of God. And our first week in being on, the internet thing, whatever it is, whatever that is, we had 500 people just in 1 week. Then the next week we had almost 600 people. And I realized now we're down to 200. But you have to wait a few days to see that. Because then they send it out, and you really don't know how many are listening to the broadcast. You don't know. But I know one thing. It's working. Because we never had that many people here. Or combine both churches. It's nothing. Dallas, Fort Worth. And so it's exciting. You know why? Because God keeps His promise. He cannot lie. He made a covenant with us. And when you make a covenant, you put a right in the other person that's the recipient of the covenant, which is the covenantee. The covenantee and the covenanter, each are. The ter is God. He makes a covenant, and He always makes the covenant, and you never make the covenant. So you're always the promisee of the promise. And so that covenant promise now empowers you to be able to do whatever God wants you to do. Draw the line in the sand. You want to go all the way? You want to be here where you hear the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Why? Because I used to be a liar, and I know what lying is. And I used to be a thief and so on. I know what thieving is. I know what all those things are because I grew up in a mafia family. I'm not bragging on it. That's what I grew up in. Irish mafia, Italian mafia, and Chicago. In Chicago, these people control everything. And so my Uncle Duke, I thought his name was Duke. We always called him Uncle Duke. But he was a duke in the Irish mafia. And then on my other side, Uncle Tom, he was Italian mafia. And his brother was Italian mafia, Vic. And then his brother, my birth father, he worked for Jimmy Hoffa. And so that's a bad guy. Those are bad guys. Okay? So I'm not afraid of sin. I don't care that people kill each other and do all that kind of stuff. I just know one thing. Pray for them. Forgive them. Love them. And one of my cousins is still, my sister's son, he's still doing security for the people in Chicago. And so you get good pay. And I don't think coronavirus is having an impact right there. But Chicago kills a lot of people. A lot of people. And they don't even count them. Just like Stop 6 out here. They don't even count the people. The police don't even go in there. They will not even drive their car into that place. So it's all Democrats for the most part. And they just do what they want to do. So isn't that exciting? Isn't it great to God to give you a command over do something about it or change it into a promise and say, I will take care of it. You don't have to do anything. I'll do it all because I'm perfect. You're not. So Jesus is just waiting now for this time. And as soon as Israel gets taken one more time, already had it six times, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, okay? Six times, one more time, new world order. Now Jesus doesn't want you to do anything and change it. Don't fix the world, just make sure you believe in Jesus Christ. So stop being a goody, goody, goody shoe, you know, whatever. Don't do it. Just do this. Father, I'll leave that up to you. I'll just stay in my own bailiwick. I'll just stay in my own jurisdiction, which is love God with all my heart and soul and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'll do that by faith. And someday when you come back and take care of Israel, then I'll do that. Because the only ones that survive the Israeli takeover are those that are priests. And the priests are used to breaking Moses' law and getting a turtle dove, getting a lamb, getting a goat, getting a bull. They're used to the ram. They're used to all that stuff, and you can sacrifice anyone. God winked at that, but now He's not. So mitzvah is not a law that you have to keep. It's a promise that Jesus had to keep for Israel. So everything in the Old Testament was not a law that anyone could do. Israel never did it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So everybody missed it. You have to be a failure in order to be a success. You have to be a zero in order for God to bless you. So he can lift up the valleys and pull down the mountains. That's God. So I'm probably over, but I'm going to read a little bit more. And that the Lord, verse 3, thy God will turn captivity, you're captive now, but I'll set you free from all that, and have compassion upon you, and will return and gather you from all the nations whithersoever the Lord hath scattered thee. And if at any of this time you be driven out to the uttermost parts of the world, from thence will the Lord your God gather you. In other words, don't worry about getting to God. Let God get to you. From thence he shall fetch you, not you. And the Lord God will bring into the land which your fathers did possess, and thou shalt possess it also. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. You'll even have more than they ever had. And the Lord God will, that's a promise, circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed, your children and children's children. And love the Lord thy God. He will do not only that, circumcise your heart. He's also going to make sure all your children are safe. They're believers. And with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you may live. And the Lord God will again, promise, put all these curses upon your enemies. In other words, all the curses that belong to you will go on the enemies that hate you and persecute you. And you shall return and obey the voice of the Lord God and do all of his commandments, which I command you this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord again rejoice over you for good, and as he is rejoiced over your fathers. And if you shall hearken to the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments, mitzvah, same thing, I'll just read it, it's a promise. And his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn unto the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and for this commandment, again, mitzvah. Every word in this whole chapter is full of mitzvah, and they're all promises. Everything here, he said, that you should do, he knows you can't do it. He's absolutely certain. So Moses never preached the law to Israel to do. They misread it. They misinterpreted it. Their hermeneutical system didn't work because they read law as law. No, it's not a law. Torah has also a double meaning. Torah means either teaching or instruction or a law, a commandment. I read it as a promise. So even the instruction is make sure that you do what the promise says. Nothing. This is the promise. Do nothing. I'm your husband. You're my wife. I get the burden, you get the blessing. That pleases God when you do nothing. If you do something, then you think you're God. Then you think, you know what, I could control this thing. I think I can figure it out what to do. No, don't. Your thinking stinks. So don't think, just enjoy yourself. Every day celebrate God because he gave you a promise and he'll never take it back. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He cannot change. He's immutable. You cannot change him. If God says he loves you, he'll never change his mind. Never. Once God says something, that's it. Because he's perfect. If he's perfect, I don't even know what perfect is. Everything you get in this world, it's got a scratch on it. It'll get dust on it. Something's going to happen. Peggy, the other day, she had a new car out there, and she just backed into it. Isn't that sad? Yahoo! So she backed into it. So what? It's just a piece of tin. But it was a nice one. I mean, it was a good one. It was a good one. And so instead of my anger, you know, raging, did you do this? Instead I said, well, praise the Lord. It's just a piece of tin. And so we have a guy that'll fix it up and, you know, It'll all be brand new. But anyway, it's just nothing. After you raise children, you realize each had at least two accidents before they grew up. And then Margaret was the last one, and she said, "Dad, I'm only 17, but I think I learned from my brothers and sisters, and I think I got it down. And I'm going to promise you, I want you to don't give me a used car. Give me a new car, and I want it to be red." So now she drives one of those Coopers around. And so she's very proud of that. But at any rate, I said, "Could you write that down? And what would happen if you do have an accident? Then write down that your parents will take you around from then on." No, Dad, I'll not do it. I know you're very sincere. But could you write that down and sign your name on it? And then just say the penalty that comes when you don't do it. Well, after her third accident, she said, "Dad, I'm not going to make any more of those promises." So here's the deal, Dad. Sit down, Dad. Okay, I crashed it again. Okay, but here's the deal. I want a new car, but I'm going to pay for it. Do you have any money? No. But I'm going to borrow it from you, and then I'll pay you back slowly. Yeah, that's a great idea, but I'm not going to go with that. And so then she learned, "Okay, Dad, I'll take care of it." So now she said, "But could you have a little mercy with me? Because you said you love me unconditionally, like God loved you unconditionally." Well, let me pray about it. So I came back and said, "Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, first of all, pay off half of your debt right now. If the IRS isn't there, let me pay them off." But it wasn't. So then, these are all credit cards. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of, you know, thousands. Almost 30,000. "Did you spend all this stuff?" Yeah, I did. You just kind of like walk in and say, "I'll buy it." Yeah. "But I'm not going to do it anymore. I've learned my lesson." "Okay, all right." So then you pay me back as though I were the bank or someone you loan from. You pay me back, and then when that's up, then we'll, you know, pay the other half off. So when that was up, I said, "No, I'm just going to give it to you as a free gift." So it was over in 18 months instead of 2 or 3 years. That's a better way to solve it. And she said, "I swear, Dad, I'll never, ever be in debt again." Wow. Hasn't been. It's too powerful. It's too powerful. So you see what? You can teach your children how to be a good Christian, which is don't take life seriously. Don't take this life seriously. Debbie, you know what I mean. Don't take anything seriously. Even though you're over a barrel, you're not. You have God on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. And he can do it just like that. Will he? Probably not. But anyway, you should believe in him. You don't have to worry about it working. You just have to worry about, you know, "I trust God." That's it. Trust God. Every day say to him, "Praise God, I have you as a God. Happy are the people that have God as their Lord." Why? Because you cannot fail. You cannot fail. This COVID thing and all these troubles and problems, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. Don't fret because of evildoers. Don't be anxious. Don't be stressed out. Don't be nervous. Everything will work out. Texas will be back to where Trump said it would be next year. I guess he said that because he knew it wasn't going to be this year. But whatever it is, he will then remove all of the things, and you don't underestimate this man. This man is a Christian. Is he mature? No. Is he immature? Yeah. But still, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. So who cares what they sin? Did you know the world is made up of sinners? So if God can bless me, he can bless him. If God can bless him, he can bless me. How many know that the world is in your hands? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are the overcomer in Christ Jesus. You are the dwelling place of the living God. So everything is going your way. I didn't see you back there, Margaret. That's not fair. I might have exaggerated a little bit. Yeah, that was horrible. Thank God, sinner to sinner, we're equal. How many know that God don't judge anybody? With the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. If you judge somebody else, it'll happen to you. Don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. Be faithful. A lot of people are scared today. The whole world is scared. The whole world is scared. Why be scared? Why not have faith in God? We could reduce that in 1 second. Who's ready to pray that prayer? Lynn, pray the prayer. Yes.
We thank you that you are faithful
yes.
to us, Lord Jesus. And we just
yes.
thank you and bless you and praise you and say we believe.
Yes,
in
we
Jesus
believe.
Name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory, glory to God. All right.
Communion?
We're going to have communion. Praise God. Okay, all the movie players, they can turn off their TVs now. Just going to do this for ourselves. Don't share it with them.